All right, everybody. So we're doing some new PFA reviews, and today we have a great PFA lined up for you. Claudia is going to go through. This was a client that she worked with, and the main thing to keep in mind, which she'll go into much more detail about here in a second, is this person had some interesting financials. So at the beginning, it seemed like it might not work, but then it worked out, ended up closing to a deal. So I will pass it on over to Claudia, who will take a moment to share her screen, and she's going to let you know about this client and the process all the way to the end. So, Claudia, feel free to take it over when you're ready.
Thanks, Megan. Okay, let me... Okay, so I hope everybody can see my desktop now and that you can see the first page of the FRANET PFA. And today I'll talk to you a little bit about my client. His name is Jose. He is a single guy. He lives in the Rio Grande Valley area, so in particular he in McAllen. And he was an interesting guy. I met him in person, but then proceeded to conduct the remainder of the process with him over the phone, since I don't live in the same city that he does. But he was a guy who had a lot of potential to be a business owner. We did find that as we learn more about him, or as I learn more about him, that he was going to have a little bit of some financial issues. But I'll start off by saying that he, again, he was a single guy. He was a school teacher in the Rio Grande Valley area. And his father had recently passed away and had left him his business that the father owned, which was a mechanic shop. So the father worked in cars, and he left them this business, he and his siblings. And so after selling the his goal was to sell the business and then use his portion of the proceeds from that sale to start his business. So when he filled out his assessment, usually I go straight down to see how he profiled. And to be honest, I was a little bit surprised that he profiled as an emulator achiever. And the reason why I was surprised is that he didn't necessarily have the characteristics that I normally see in an emulator achiever. In other words, he wasn't very talkative, not a very social, outgoing person, actually a little bit shy. But as we continued to talk, then I could see how image was important to him, and he took very good care of himself and so forth. And so some of the emulator achiever traits then started to come through in him. But then usually after I take a look and see how they profile, then I like to go back and see, okay, how does he look financially? And so we can see that in terms of net worth, he had a low net worth. Not a whole lot of cash to speak of, and especially in the initial cash portion, or in the initial look at the PFA, he had not sold the business as of yet. So from the very beginning, we started talking. I wanted to find out right up front how long he thought it would take him to sell the business. He, at that time, had an interested party, and as a matter of fact, they were already in the contract portion of the deal, and so he was hoping that he was going to be able to sell it very quickly. And he thought, which actually did come true, that he was going to earn about $40,000 from the sale of that business. Whenever I see somebody that has a low net worth and then low cash to begin with, I always feel more comfortable in bringing in our financial partners. And so I immediately called Guidant, and through Blake Evans' help, he immediately contacted Jose, and they started talking about how to best utilize the money when he would have that available to him, which then brought out another issue that, along with not having a tremendous amount of cash available, and that he also had a low credit score. And so in order for him to be able to apply for SBA funding, they were going to need to help him to work on his credit. And so Blake very proactively put him in touch with a credit repair person, and they quickly started working on that part of it. All along, Jose and I then continued to work on, you know, the different, taking him through the process and looking at the different businesses. Jose also profiled as, he also profiled as, with an autocratic leadership style, and he was great at following the processes, which I knew that he wouldn't have I knew that he wouldn't have a hard time following our process because of his compliance ratio, which is another thing that I like to take a look at to see how willing they're going to be into following our process. And knowing that he was also a procedural, I did present a lot of concepts to him. I took a look at the things that he had looked at in the past, which he had looked at a mechanic, automotive type of businesses in the past. He had also looked at a couple of CrossFit gyms, and so from the beginning, I presented three businesses. One was 9 Rounds. The other was Yoga Fit, and then I also had a service business that I presented to him. And from almost the very beginning, after I described the businesses to him, he automatically leaned towards 9 Rounds. And he did the initial calls with the two other businesses that I had presented to him, but really stayed focused on 9 Rounds. And with the help of Darko at 9 Rounds, he did an excellent job of taking him through their process and looking at the 9 Rounds concept. So that was probably the easiest part in getting this deal to completion, in looking at the businesses and taking them through that process. The part that obviously took the longest in getting him to closing was still the ongoing financial issues that were in the background. He was very Jose was very very meticulous and very detail oriented, as a lot of achievers are, and very good about going through providing all the necessary items and documentations and taking care of different things that the credit repair people were asking him to do in order to get his credit repaired. And mind you, the number of points that he needed to get to were minimal. I believe it was a matter of just a few points that he needed to raise his credit score in order to be eligible for the SBA loan. I know that he also looked at possibly using an uncollateralized form of funding, but in the end ended up being able to work through the SBA and get his funding. So I know it seems that this for me in my area of the country that I work in, the part of Texas that I work with, he tends to be a very typical client for me. You know, I've had to work in the past with several candidates like Jose, and that he. You know, they're these single, younger guys who are interested in going into business for themselves who, because they're still a little bit younger, they may not have a whole lot of cash or a high net worth, as we might see in some of our more mature candidates. So I've learned that not to judge a book by its cover, so to speak, and assume that because they're showing a lower net worth that they're not going to be a good candidate or one that will actually you'll be able to close a deal with. So I've learned to talk and make sure that I do what we do as front netters, which is really take our clients through this assessment, and then from there really sit down and have conversations over what you're seeing in the PSA, so that I can get a better look and a better perspective on where they're coming from. Even though he was showing a very high sales potential, he himself felt like he wasn't very outgoing or outgoing enough to look at businesses that required a lot of sales. So from a PSA perspective, had I seen this from the very beginning and really just gone based off of what the PSA tells me, which he had a very high sales potential, I might have presented to him things that would require a little bit more of a salesperson in the owner role. In reality, in talking to Jose, he would have not been very comfortable and probably not picked a business that required a lot of sales. So this more as an owner of 9 rounds, even though he has to make the customers feel welcome and the members, and he's looking to work with membership and so forth, that was more of his speed because it was more of a one-on-one consultative type of role, which is what his sales orientation was in the PFA. He was definitely a great success story, and I felt very good in where I placed him and the choice that he made in terms of finding that this business was going to work well for him. Because again, he was a guy that had a lot of potential, and that had I presumed or assumed that he would not be a good candidate based on his financials, probably would have been a big mistake, because he definitely had a lot of potential, and we were able to work through his financial issues. together. And with our, again, with our partners, our partnership with Blake and Guidance.
Okay, I have a couple questions for you, Claudia.
Sure.
So the first one is, when he first came to you, did he mention anything about his financials? Was he at all concerned from the beginning, or did he wait until you brought it up?
When we first met, he mentioned the fact right away that he had his father's mechanic business or his mechanic shop, and that he was getting ready to sell it, that he was in the process of selling it, and so that he would have some cash available. He didn't necessarily tell me that he didn't mention the fact that he had a low credit score, nor that that his net worth would be low as well.
Right. Okay. And then my other question is about the net worth and kind of looking at the financials. What's the difference between Jose here, who actually ended up being a great client and would have been a missed opportunity if you didn't decide to work with him, versus someone who maybe their financials were actually too low and you couldn't spend the time to help get them there? Does that make sense?
Yes. I think so. Let me see if I answer this correctly. So the fact that he had, I guess the biggest difference with Jose was the fact that he did have this money that he could possibly make off of that that deal. So a lot of my conversations with him at the very beginning, when we were still trying to, you know, as we were building the business model, and then as we were going through our initial conversations, and we first started, I know that I asked him in a couple of different occasions, hey, how's the sale of your father's business going? Because I wanted to make sure that this was something that was actually happening, and that it wasn't, one day when. And so every time that I talked to him, it was like, yeah, it's coming, and here, you know, and we're almost at closing. And so I knew that it was coming. And I have talked to others before that, you know, other clients that say, oh yeah, I could get this money, or I could have an investor that will invest money, but there's no letter of intent. There's nothing to back it up. And with Jose, he was continuously, you know, keeping me up to speed and on the progress that he was making with the sale of the business. So that's one of the things that definitely made it different than others that have low net worth but still have absolutely nowhere for us to go with.
Right. Yeah, that was perfect. I answered it perfectly. And then my last question is, were his fears or maybe even some preconceived notions that he came to you pretty much the same as you have been getting, or is it kind of changing with the clients you work with now that maybe they have different fears or different myths that they're hearing?
No, his were still during the presentation, during the seminar that I gave at the time when I met him, his fear or his concern was the fact that that it was going to be way out of his reach, that maybe franchises were a lot more expensive than, which is typical for most of the people that we talk to. You know, a lot of them, one of their biggest fears is they're not going to qualify because they don't have enough money. And after hearing the seminar and going through the myths around franchising, I think that also helped to allow him to realize that, yeah, you know what, it may not be a huge franchise, or it may not be, you know, one that he may not be able to start off with multiple units right away, but definitely business ownership was within his reach.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that should wrap it up then, unless you have anything else you want to add to it.
No, I think just the biggest, again, the biggest aha for me was, don't judge a book by its cover, and make sure that you ask a lot of questions that are going to help you to see how accurate the PFA is.
Perfect. Okay. All right, then. We will put these PFA review calls on FranConnect under training with the rest of them. I'll make a new folder for the new ones coming in. And thank you so much again, Claudia, for presenting this PFA and for your time.
No, thank you, Megan.